think we should say our names.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Welcome, guys, to the 5 to 9. We are finally live. Told me many times before that you will never in your entire life have a podcast. And here you are sitting today doing exactly that. Talk to us.
Yeah, I have always said I'm not going to do a podcast. There's so many out there. The world does not need another one. But this is more than just a podcast for me. This is a show, and this is something that we're going to be able to look back on from this moment to where we're going to go and say we made it. And we made it with all these people that we're talking to today.
The thing about Sierra and I is that we love to be different. Everything we do has to be original. It has to be creative and has to be over the top. If you have any questions about that, ask Sierra what she has done for my birthday for the last 7 years. But in all honesty, starting a brand between Sierra and I gives us the opportunity to be original, to be creative, and to really push our own personal boundaries with what we want to do with business. Mm-hmm. And when we look at other podcasts, other brands, I feel like we're starting to see a pattern where they all look the same. And I feel like you and I both, we couldn't be on the sidelines anymore. And there was a moment in time where we had a flip of a switch. And this was this mentality of being a producer versus consumer. Can you maybe?
So one day I looked at Jared and I was like, you know what? I'm tired of consuming and I want to create. And I didn't really know what that meant at the time, but I was like, I'm tired of scrolling. I'm tired of looking at what everyone else does or why it matters. We need to go and create things and we need to create meaningful things. So that was probably like my first realization of we got to freaking do something. We got to do it now.
Exactly. And guys, today we are living in what a lot of people are calling the creator's economy, right? Where people can create anything, and that is contributing to the economy. And that is why there's so much money being passed around to influencers, content creators, brand deals, sponsorship deals. I mean, the opportunities are endless. And I think you and I started to see, God, I want a piece of that pie.
Yeah, we wanted to eat it.
I wanted to eat it.
You're tired of looking at the pie.
I was tired of looking at it and seeing these YouTubers talk about nothing and following nonsense all the time. And they're making so much money. And so you and I, though, as business owners and being entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. you and I have always said if we're going to do something, we want it to feel meaningful to us.
Yeah.
Right. We have always led our business endeavors with purpose. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't make sense or it didn't really like light us up in the morning, then we weren't going to do it. And for this brand, Dream Culture, but more importantly, our show, the 5 to 9, right? Why the 5 to 9, right? Why do we name it the 5 to 9? What is it? How did it even begin? Like, what's the concept of it? Yeah.
So I'd like to say, unfortunately, because I could not quit my 9 to 5, I had to start a 5 to 9. But these hours of 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. or maybe 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. in some cases for us, these are the hours where we're able to just like sit, think, and really make a difference in our business and in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole world is asleep or they're off, you know, happy hour or they're out at the bars. We are sitting at home trying to figure out how we can make our lives better. And every time we do that, we come a step closer, but it just became such a like schedule for Jared and I to be like, all right, 5 to 9, let's get it.
It is very challenging for anybody in their mid to late 20s, early 30s, to basically put their life on pause. When you dedicate your entire everything to your dreams and your vision, and you're spending that time from the hours of 5 to 9, you're not worried about going to your friend's house. You're not worried about going to the bars. You're only worried about reaching your goals. And I remember that Sierra and I, when we decided that we were going to go on this journey together, that we wanted to do it now while we don't have kids, we don't have a family. Like, this is the time
to struggle, to
fuck up, to make mistakes.
And that's another part of the 5 to 9 is that we're going to be sharing a lot of those stories of struggling. And
there's been plenty.
I mean, you should have saw us today trying to just get this stuff together. It's like there's always an obstacle, but that's part of the journey and you can't hide that.
No matter what happens to you along your entrepreneurial journey, bad things will happen. It is just part of the journey of being an entrepreneur. But if you love what you do and you see the vision as clear as day, mm-hmm. then no obstacle is too big. You're going to overcome it and you're going to find a way. The one thing that makes entrepreneurs and really creatives so special is that we're problem solvers at the core of what we do. Mm-hmm. But it's a challenge to always look at problems and find creative ways to solve them. We made our third bedroom into what we now call the think tank. And all of our clients and a lot of people hear about the think tank, but they don't actually know what goes on inside of the think tank. Yeah. Can you maybe walk someone through just a normal day in the think tank from the hours of 5 to sometimes past 9?
Yeah. It's a physical room in our house. It's a tiny room, and basically the walls are covered in wallpaper that you can write on. So it's like a thin whiteboard style wallpaper, and you can just jot your ideas down. Generally, when we go in, we leave electronics at the door, and it's just us and our thoughts and the whiteboard. And I think everyone should have one of those if you don't, because otherwise you're going to go crazy and you're just going to scroll and never get anything done. But for us, you know, we can really get a lot of things that are up here out into the world.
Now, the beauty is now that we have a show, we can bring what happens in our think tank room now to everyone else. Yeah. So you can kind of get a sense of what happens in those brainstorming sessions. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of take it back a little bit, because I feel like a lot of people, Sierra, are confused as to what it is we actually do.
And who we are.
And who we are. And so I think it's important that we give people... Not as much of a detail as we normally give people when we tell our story, because as Sierra will tell you and what my friends will tell you, I'm the rambler, and that will happen from time to time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be better on that on my own show. But I think it's important we give people a perspective on who we are. So I decided after college that I was not going to be living in corporate America for no more than 2 years. Mm-hmm. I said 2 years and I am out of there. I believe I made it with 1 month to spare before I decided to quit. But when I committed myself to the corporate job, you know, I rose up the ladder quickly, and you know, I already knew I wasn't going to get that same satisfaction of having our own brand. But I remember that about, I would say, a year into the job, Sierra and I were evolving from an initial business idea that we had together back in college that turned into our first brand ever called Resurgence. And Resurgence was our first company we truly started, where we were trying to integrate augmented reality with custom athletic apparel, and we're trying to help athletes rediscover their identity through our brand. And that was really cool. As a former athlete, I was really excited about it. But the point is I would get home from
You weren't just a former athlete, though.
All right.
You were basically going to go to the Olympics.
I was a junior Olympian. That's in the past. But the point is that when I came home every day from the 9 to 5, I would get home, we would maybe converse for 30 minutes to an hour, and then at 6 o'clock, we were eating dinner and we were working on our business.
Yeah.
And from those hours, that was when I felt like you and I were the closest. Mm-hmm. There were no distractions. There was no one bothering us. But also in those hours, you and I also felt the most alone.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people didn't truly understand what it was like to not work in your house and work by yourselves in the late night. So I don't know, like, that's kind of my story and into how the 5 to 9 lifestyle sort of to really begin. Mm-hmm. I want to hear yours.
Still stuck in the 9 to 5, and I have bounced since college. My first 4 years out of college, I probably had 4 different jobs, and I didn't really know why. I had 4 different jobs. I was just always bouncing. And I think it's because I didn't really know who I was and what I wanted to do. And I needed to figure that out. So after my 4th job, Jared comes home. He's like in the frat boy culture at work. They're playing mini golf.
Well, hold on. Time out. It was a sales office. And if you've ever worked in sales,
that's frat boy culture.
If you've ever worked in sales, it can get a little rowdy in there. Anyways.
Yes. Meanwhile, I'm at home. The only people I'm talking to are my 2 dogs. And I'm going crazy, probably watching like a show in between. Jared comes home day after day. I'm always like, I'm basically depressed. And he would come home and be like, I had the best day ever. Like, I made a sale. And I'm just like, I hate my life. But I didn't really know why I hated my life. And it's because I didn't wake up and I wasn't happy. And I did the same thing day after day. It was like I was living on repeat.
She was on a repeated pattern. She would wake up and do the same routine every single day. Yeah. And she slipped into what I call the corporate matrix depression, where your day looks exactly the same. And it's tough when I'm going into an office, yes, still being in the corporate matrix, but in an office around people. And when you're in your studio apartment with your dog every day, you're going to lose your mind a little bit. And then when your partner comes home telling you, hey, Sierra, here's how my day went, you know, you're not going to give me the most lovely response.
Yeah. So basically one day you came home and you had had enough of me moping and you said, we need to fix this. We need to find a solution like you do. You are a problem solver. And I was like, okay, where do we start? So we get in bed, we have our little pillow talk sessions like we do every day.
Shout out Lil Dicky.
And this particular night, Jared hands me a notebook and he hands me a pen and he's like, write down everything that makes you happy. Don't think, just write. So I start writing and I hand him the list. There was about 7 things on the list and number 4 was gin. If you know me, and everyone that does know me knows I'm like the gin girl. I love gin. I'm the martini queen. Like, that's just that's part of me. And so we look at each other and we're like, okay, Jen, great. What do we do with that?
And I want to stop real quick because the gin is what we realize is what Sierra loved, right? She was working a job she hated. We needed to figure out, okay, what is next?
Yeah.
Sierra wrote down the things that she loved. And from that list, we identified that gin is something that we never even really thought of, something that could be a career, a business, something you do with your life.
Yeah.
Once we realized, like, it was almost like there was a trigger in the way we were thinking, right? Mm-hmm. We started to think, wait a minute, why can't I make that gin my company? Or why can't I become the next Tanqueray or Hendrix?
Well, before I knew I wanted to make my own gin, I was like, I would love to have my own gin brand. That would be so cool. And typically in the alcohol industry, it's always celebrities. You always see celebrities behind a brand or someone with a lot of money, because that's just how the alcohol industry goes. And I was like, well, why can't I do it? And that's where it started, was with that question, why not me? Like, why does it always have to be everybody else? And I feel like anytime we're going to like do something new or try something that could be scary to all of us, you kind of have to ask yourself, like, why can't I? Because everyone has started from ground zero before.
Right. If anything, the purpose of Dream Culture and the 5 to 9 is to humanize what success really looks like. And so I know, I've already seen our future. I already know we're going to be successful. So we're going to take you along for the journey where we break down the messiness in between. So once we reach the top together, you're going to see what it actually took. Mm-hmm. And it's not just going to be us. We're also going to bring in other guests to tell us their stories, right? But anyway, so let's go back to the question of why not me?
Yeah.
I want people to believe that if you love something and you want to go after it, it's possible. Mm-hmm. You just got to believe in it, you know? And I think belief is the hardest part. And what we realized being on our own, we didn't have anyone else to believe in us. We were by ourselves. We didn't have that support. We didn't have anyone who truly understood us. So I think for a lot of people who are listening, what I'm hoping is that you find this show to be a sense of support and two people that understand what you're going through. Because for the last 2 years, I'm pretty sure we've experienced it all, from being at celebrity poker tournaments, right? But also then my debit card being declined at the dollar store. Like, we've experienced highs and lows at all.
Okay, I have to chime in.
Okay,
this is
please.
Just too funny, and I am so sorry. You're probably going to hate me for this, but one morning I wake up and I come downstairs.
I'm not ready to share this yet.
I come downstairs and I normally take my dog for a walk in the mornings, and I open the door and I only see one car in the driveway. And Jared drives a Kia, and I don't know if anyone remembers, but Kias are like notorious for being stolen. Like I think a year ago, a bunch of Kias were being stolen across America. And I was like, oh, your Kia was stolen. So I go upstairs and I'm like, Jared, call 911. Your car has been stolen. It wasn't stolen. It was.
Go ahead.
The bank took it. Jared was late on a few payments, so the bank took his car. And we can laugh about it now because he has his car. But can you please share what you felt when that happened and what changed when they took your car?
So the car was the icing on the top for me. That was the last straw. Before that, we had a potential investor deal on the table that didn't go through. we almost moved our entire lives from Charlotte to Rhode Island. I will comment on the Kia being taken in a minute. But that was just icing on the cake for what I was going through. At the time, I was struggling so much with balancing being present with you and doing basic things around the house because I had so many things piling up on my shoulders to where, honestly, the burden became just unbearing. And the first big, I would say, event that happened that was supposed to be a positive, life-changing event turned into a domino that just kept on falling. And so Sierra and I, last year in the springtime, flew us out to Boston, some investors, and they were going to actually invest into our brand $250,000 and six-figure salaries each. That was going to be life-changing for us. This brand would have been so much further along if that were to have happened. Hold on to that. All the deals and talks were all going great, and then all of a sudden, it just disappeared off the table. So we prepared our entire life for like 2 months to move across the to the northeast of Rhode Island from Charlotte, and that didn't happen. Okay. Then we fast forward a few months.